It was believed in ancient Egypt that the orgasm was the key to eternal life, and that through the proper understanding and use of one's bioenergetic field, a person can increase their life force energy, making you stronger, more alive, and more conscious. And perhaps, if you believe the ancient Egyptians, it may lead you into spiritual immortality. It was thought that sex energy was directly linked to the activation of the chakra system, and more specifically, the heart chakra. A chakra is defined as an energy vortex that is connected to the entire human energy field and influences the nervous and endocrine systems. Sex, and specifically the orgasm, therefore, is more than just something that allows procreation, and under the right conditions, is said to allow a person to not only attain enlightenment or higher consciousness, but actually subjectively experience other worlds beyond this dimensional plane of existence.
It's not only Egyptian Tantra that uses this method. It's known also by yoga, for example, doing Kundalini yoga. I'm doing a lot of Kundalini yoga by Yogi Bhajan, for example. They also speak about it in the sense of Kundalini yoga and there's many other methods. This is not the only one, and this is not religious at all. It just has to do with alchemy and physics, basically, because sexual energy is not only used for creating children, and there's actually a reason why the sexual energy is so strong. It creates actually a very strong magnetic energy. It's all about magnetics, electrics, all about physics. And if you know how to use this energy, you can actually raise your consciousness by it. It's just that a lot of these, what they call secrets, have been used because have been taken by religious, for example, the Christians, just to hide the truth from us, because it would make us incredibly powerful. The thing is that you have, what is called here, everybody uses different names. So in here it's called the internal fire of Ra. Ra, the Egyptians, Ra and Horus and Isis, because the thing with Mary Magdalene was that she was an initiate of the temple of Isis. And Isis, she has many names. She's a goddess that has 10,000 different names. And you can see it as the energy of the goddess or the mother, the pure mother, which all of us we have, It's not only female, but we all have this energy, and we're all trying to find a balance in between the male and the female, right? But the thing is, she was a high initiate of the temple of Isis, and this is the type of methods they were learning. So we all have this channel inside of us. It's like in the middle of our body. We, in our workshops, we call it, in our Awakening the Illuminated Heart workshops, we call it the prana channel. And around that channel, you have different pathways where energy can stream up inside of your body. So when this energy is used well, it's actually clearing out all your chakras, or seals, as they used to call them. So it's clearing out all this energy, and what comes out is your pure, basic, a bright, clear consciousness that comes out. So I'm gonna show you a picture where, on the left side of the spine, there is a lunar circuit, and the right one is called a solar circuit, which is called also the Ida and the Pingala by the yogis and the yoginis. And it's an alchemical process. So let me see if I can find it. The lunar snake is pitch black. It's the color of the void. And you know, and the solar, the one on the right is the solar, is the color is gold. And they both rise upwards. And then when they rise upwards, they are actually piercing all these chakras. I'm going to show you the image that's going to help you to, it's going to make much more sense. And as they are crossing each other in the head, they're watching each other also. So, and what they were actually doing was to charge their ka. And by that, charging their ba. So ka is like your light body, your etherical light body, and ba is like your, you know, your celestial soul, you could say. So what they were doing was they were charging their ka with a lot of energy, a lot of light. Qu'est-ce qu'il y a, mon amour chéri?
J'ai envie de jouer avec les enfants.
D'accord, allez-y, mais il faut que tu mettes tes chaussures, d'accord?
D'accord.
Allez-y.
J'ai envie de rester encore un petit peu.
Non, parce que maman a fait un film. Allez, Cookie, s'il te plaît.
Mais pas dans le film.
Non, tu es dans le film maintenant. Allez. So,
ben là, je suis dans le film.
Oui, tu es dans le film. Allez, Cookie, va jouer. Mets tes chaussures. Allez-y.
Et là, je suis dans le film.
Non, là, tu n'es pas dans le film. So, this is the image I wanted to show you. It's the pathway of the two serpents. So what happens when it goes up? It crosses through all the chakras, the seals, in the throat. It's one of the last ones. And then actually in the head, you can visualize or imagine this chalice of the pineal gland, right? And there's like a liquid coming out, like red and white serpentine droplets, which is going to create an ecstasy. You can even taste it. It's liquid and it creates a very strong ecstatic energy, like a bliss, you know, because your ka needs ecstatic energy to be loaded up, you know, with energy, life force. So, and it's a magnetic energy that releases itself. It's spiraling. In a woman, it's coming from the womb. The womb is the center, and then the energy, it's magnetic, and it spirals out of that energy. And so there's much, much more to say about all this, but I prefer you get it directly. One of the important things on this method is that it will never work if there's no love, you know. You can do this work alone, or you can, which is called the Alchemies of Horus, or you can share it in a sacred relationship, and then it becomes the sex magic of Isis. And so if there's no love in between the partners, it just doesn't work. You know, for example, the woman needs to be feeling safe and needs to be feeling loved by her beloved. If not, all of this just doesn't work. So, as I said, there's much more to say about this, but have a look. A lot of us want to raise our frequency, raise our vibration, and, you know, become the clear consciousness that we are. And this is one of the most direct and easy and fun ways to do it. That's why I'm sharing it. You know, it's quite a topic to share in a way. So, and I'm doing it because I'm convinced that this is one of the, you know, one of the fastest ways that you can reach your own goddess or your own god within yourself, alone or with a partner. So, yeah, enjoy. Thank you very much for watching. Namaste.
The ancient Egyptians performed circumcision not as a way of keeping track of slaves or as a punishment, but in regards to their alchemical goals via sex to increase the body's biomagnetic energetic charge, where, in according to this philosophy, the orgasm is sought after. However, the ejaculation is equated to a short circuit where energy is totally lost, and so the climax is avoided entirely. That said, the ancient Egyptians would attempt to amplify their aura or biomagnetic field with various handheld devices, as well as staffs and wands.
The beginning of the study of magnetism can be traced back to Egypt, and the staffs and wands of the ancient priests were instruments of magnetic conjuring. Also, we find the Greeks used it, and among the Greeks and early Egyptians, we have the first understanding of the nature of magnetism. It was used principally in healing. It was well known to Pythagoras, who gave us considerable information on the subject, which was promptly forgotten by everybody else. Then we have little knowledge of it, except through the Arabs. The Chinese were aware of it because of the discovery of the mariner's compass. But for the most part, it was neglected until the 17th century, when it became involved in the story of Rosicrucianism. The alchemists, the Rosicrucians, and the Hermetists all were unfolding phases of magnetic theory. It was also very well known to Athanasius Kircher, the great Jesuit scholar, but for the most part it was ignored. It is interesting that we should use magnetism so continuously and yet never really understand what it is. The older folks of the Greek and Egyptian period represented the human being as contained within a kind of bubble. This bubble was referred to also by the physician and who did the human atmosphere studies, Dr. Kilner of the University of Liverpool. We are in the presence of a mysterious agent, an agent that is part of everything that we are. Now, studying magnetism as it comes into the human body, we discover along with Kilner that each human body is surrounded by an etheric or energy field. This energy field is sometimes referred to as an aura, but it is not the true aura that we think of in metaphysics. This magnetic field is an area of energy. This area of energy forms an egg-like atmospheric sheath around the physical body, usually extending 3 to 5 feet from it in each direction. This energy field is the basis of virtue, because this energy field depends for its reality, its serviceability, and its protecting power to mood, emotion, thought, and the attitudes of the person around which this magnetic field is gathered. In other words, the individual, if they are normal, if mentally, emotionally, and physically, they are keeping the rules, this magnetic field forms a tremendous protection. It is normal, it is healthy, it is constantly able to handle infections and all kinds of difficulties. It will help to heal wounds. It will help to recover the use of functions and organs. And if we are deprived of some part of the body, it will try to compensate for it. As long as the individual takes proper care of his magnetic field, it will serve him. Now, this is a phase of morality that is generally overlooked. It is assumed that these magnetic fields are something you don't pay much attention to. They're there, maybe they'll help a little. But the truth of the matter is that practically the whole survival of the individual depends upon maintaining the integrity of this flow of energy into the magnetic field. This is a kind of a little private tank or capsule of life that we are all carrying about with us all the time. Now, the problem of morality in this is very definite. The moment we break rules, we damage that magnetic flow. We have got to keep the laws of nature, and these in turn are the laws of God, or the magnetic field fails. It can fail because of physical intemperances, which reduce its integrity and reduce its power. It can be wasted in riotous living, which is such a common cause these days. It can be variously destroyed by moods, by attitudes, by fears, by complexes. It can be destroyed or damaged by alcohol, drugs, narcotics, all kinds of things. But if this field is damaged, it immediately reacts into health. It damages the individual's vitality. It makes him more easily subject to contagions and infections, and it definitely shortens the life expectancy. Now, if this is the soul, why do we want to consider it as a moral factor? In other words, what is morality? To the ancients, it was obedience to the words of God or the laws of God. In more modern times, with more intelligent people, it is obedience with the evident will of deity as manifested in creation. Virtue lies in whatever builds up the magnetic fields. Vice is that which tears them down. No human interception can interfere with this in any way. Therefore, if we are good, it's not because the book says we should be. It's not because it was thundered by the laws on Sinai. It is because we keep the rules of the integration of the human structure, that we use the magnetic fields correctly and protect our health and our happiness and our well-being in that way. Now, in the Rosicrucian philosophy, we had alchemy, the transmutation of various phases of life. Alchemy was a transformation and a transmutation of energies, and these energies are essentially the same ones that we have in magnetism. The moment you damage a level of integrity in your own magnetism, that level of integrity becomes sick. The moment that becomes sick, part of the defense against exterior problems is reduced. The only way in which the individual can be really dominated by anything except himself is when he sells out his own energy and becomes negative to other things. Back to the individual now, and we find him standing in the midst of his own magnetic field with his structure protected by the constant radiating force of outflowing energy, an outflowing energy that vitalizes everything from the center outward and nourishes the solar system, which is the human body, from the level of the sun, as in astronomy. The ancient astrologers believed that these energy fields originated in man himself, and that the source of all the energy fields in the human body is the heart, that this is the thing from which all else radiates. Therefore, the most dangerous of all corruption is the abuse of love, abuse of friendship, abuse of integrities, abuse of fidelities, and abuse of those things of benevolence, mercy, and compassion, which are associated with the heart.
Dao is a Chinese word signifying path, road, or way. In the context of East Asian philosophy and religion, the Dao is not a name for a thing, but the underlying natural order of the universe. It cannot be grasped as a concept and is therefore eternally nameless. In Taoism, the object of spiritual practice is to harmonize one's will with nature, or become one with the Tao. This involves meditative and moral practices in order to achieve effortless action.
I remember once, I was looking in the open air, and one of those glorious little thistle down things came, and I picked it up like that and brought it down, and it looked as if it was struggling to get away, just as if you caught an insect by one leg, like a daddy long legs or something of that kind. It seemed to be struggling to get away, and I thought, well, it's not doing that, that's just the wind blowing. But then I thought again, really? Only the wind blowing? Surely it is the structure of this thing which in cooperation with the existence of wind enables it to move like an animal, but using the wind's effort, not its own. It is more intelligent being than an insect, in a way, because an insect uses effort, like a person who rows a boat uses effort, but the man who puts up a sail is using magic. He lets nature do it for him, with the intelligence to use a sail, see? Now that is the most highly skillful art of all. That is Taoism in perfection.
A central tenet in most varieties of Taoism is that the Tao is ever-present, but must be manifested, cultivated, and/or perfected in order to be realized. There is no exterior deity to be worshipped. So what are some of the ancient Taoist techniques that one can perform in order to work with nature, to work with one's own biology, in order to effortlessly gain physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual vitality? Let us listen to Grandmaster Montauk Chia, an expert in Taoist philosophy and one of the few, if not the first, to publicly disclose detailed instructions with the West, which for many millennia were guarded secrets used exclusively by emperors, high priests, pharaohs, and other nobility and elite.
One of the Tao practice involved with the inner alchemy. We call the sexual inner alchemy practice. And most people know about sexual energy because we come from sex. And the whole life that we are, we involve with sex, or loving sex. So the Tao practice divides into a few sections of practice. We call a physical part. I mean, how to strengthen the sexual organ. And the energy part is how the sexual organ transforms to be a sexual energy. And how the sexual energy transforms into qi. And finally, how the sexual energy transforms into qi and transform into the spiritual energy to feed the soul and spirit. Because the whole thing about the Tao sexual practice is sexual energy is the only most powerful energy that can transform it and feed into the soul and spirit. Sometimes we call them a baby food formula. So without the sexual energy transform it, you cannot raise the soul and spirit. So we always look at the soul and spirit like an infant. When it comes to us, like a baby, like a child. And if people don't grow them, they will remain like a child. And when people with no purpose come to this life, when they left, the soul never grow, never educated. So they will end up with living the world like a child. So the Tao practice is very simple, that first, know your sexual energy and strengthening them, because the soul and spirit come to this world the only that because we have a physical. The physical can produce energy, we call qi. And the sexual organ is a material we call the organ, sexual organ like material, but one of these you can transform the sexual organ into sexual energy, and that's the immaterial. So with the immaterial is the link between the soul and the spirit. So when with no qi, no sexual energy, the soul and spirit have no link. So now they have link to the soul and spirit, and they feed in them. So in the Tao practice, there are many exercises, a very important exercise. So the whole thing is, you have to know that material can change to immaterial. So in a normal way of thinking is that when the sexual organ producing sperm and egg, so it becomes material. material producing material. So what we can do? We cannot do anything. All we have to do is drain them out or dump them out. So man is ejaculation out. Woman turn to be menstruation and lose a lot of blood to it. So in the Tao said, if we don't understand how to practice that, we are keep on losing our sexual energy every day. Okay? And this is the biggest waste in our life. Why? Because sexual energy is the most important for, number one, have the healing power. Why? Because sexual energy creating us. So sexual energy, we're regarding them as a commander on the top. It commanding the embryo cells. It commanding the stem cell. And we know the stem cell creating can repair anything we want. So without the sexual energy, the stem cell don't work because they have to receive the commander on the top to keep them in order. Plus the melatonin at night together, plus together, they get the order and they do the job. Cell have to be listened to the order. If they don't get the order, they don't know what to do. So that's why the strengthening the sexual organ is very important. And the simple practice is creating the fire. So men like fire and women like water. So in the Tao practice, we said women, so they are reverse the process. Women should have many orgasm and ejaculations. Okay. Men, because it's water and fluid, and women producing egg in once a month. The men can producing a lot of sperm every day ejaculation now. So it's taking a lot of energy. So we only know that the monk, the nun, the priest, they have to conserve the sexual energy because they want to convert this energy into the spiritual energy connecting to God. So without the sexual energy, there's no link to connect. But if you don't strengthening your sexual organs, you also have no enough energy to transform it into a higher. So the sexual energy can use for healing. The sexual energy can use for strengthening. The sexual energy can use for creating power. So a lot of like performance, the sport people, they have to really learn how to conserve their sexual energy. So all the football team, when in the spring training, they cannot take girlfriend into the camp and also training also. Because they need to conserve their sexual energy in order to transform to strength and power. So that's why, so the simple part of the Tao practice is how can you separate orgasm and ejaculation out. So that is the man have to be really learn how to. So a simple thing is the mind power and the muscle control. So the one exercise that the man can really strengthening immediately is so simple, is tightening your buttock. And I think that is, I don't know, the English invent that word or not, we call tightening your ass. Okay? I don't know that. But in the Tao practice, when you're strengthening your buttock, tightening up, and tightening up, that man, if you tighten this one 100 times a day, that's it, 100 times a day, and in a few weeks, you started to learn how to control ejaculation. So why we need the men need to control ejaculation? Because you don't have the ejaculation every time. That's with the most important part. And so there are a timetable, how old you are, how many times you should be ejaculation a week. And later on, it's between the age you go up. So you can have, if you enjoy life, enjoy sex, enjoy love, because loving energy and orgasm energy is the one that make the cell split, make the DNA split. So they have a study that DNA renewal need orgasm and love. That's why we have love. when we feel love and feel orgasm, they say when we make love, the DNA also make love and is split. The DNA renewal happen every second. When it slow down, we get old. When it slow down, we get sick. And when it don't split anymore, we finish. But the process is always depending on the orgasm and love. So when we make love, the DNA also make love. And it split and you get a new cells. That's why when you're practicing love and feel the arousal orgasm, you have more energy. Jing, so in the Tao Chinese we say Jing Qi means the sexual energy. But the sexual energy comes from the sexual organ, the sperm and egg. If we dump them all out, we don't have that energy. So that's why in the sexual practice we always talk about a different way of orgasm for women. So you have the clitoris ejaculation, you have the G-spot, or we call secret spot, and you have the uterus orgasm. The uterus orgasm now more and more, but the Taoism they do, they know it's many thousand years. And now the West discovered that uterus orgasm is very important, but it's very difficult because you have to understand the anatomy in order to get the uterus orgasm for women. Because if you don't activate the clitoris enough, and you don't activate the secret spot enough, the uterus spot back on the epicenter will not open. So all the women, we call women very mysterious. So all the secret spot is hiding. So it's not there until you get it ready and the lady not open. So that's why the uterus, the lady can train how to contract it. Okay. So in this one, a famous exercise in the Tao we call the deer exercise. So you massage the breast and you contract the perineum anus, and you think the uterus contracting, because that's how when the lady get orgasm, the uterus contract and release, contract and release. Men also, when you massage testicle and you do the tightening this, you have a lot of chi come back. So you have more fire. So making love in man and woman we call water and fire. So if we have, when men have lesser fire and women have icy cold vagina, so if you try to boil a water, it takes a long time to boil with a very little fire and very cold water. So if you make the breast warm, the uterus have chi, when man and woman make love, you have more energy. Otherwise, it become too cold, and eventually you lost interest. And so that's why the man and woman lost interest, because men have lesser fire, and women, all the sexual organ become too cold. So when you learn how to massage and exercise them, you have more chi in the sexual organ.
Can you explain the difference for men between orgasm and ejaculation?
Yes, that's very important, because usually we don't experience that. We don't know. So when we get very close, very good, very highly arousal, orgasm, very highly orgasm, and you want more. But there are no more. Okay? So we call a very genital orgasm. Very short and very limited. So the orgasm right here. And it's go to ejaculation. So we experience orgasm, and you want more orgasm, then no more. Okay? So it jump right into the orgasm. So now, when you learn very simple, when you feel very highly arousal, when you feel highly orgasm, you stop for a moment, feel it. Okay? So sometimes we said you go up to be 90, 95, 90, 96-97%, you think I get close. So if you never train it, you go so close and ejaculation finish. Okay. So men, when ejaculation, we said you dump out all your sperm out, and the body need to build up, and the sperm is the essence. So the Chinese write the sperm mean jing. the life essence. And how important is the life essence? Because it builds a whole human. And how important? It's very smart human, come up from this sperm and egg. So it's very important. So man built up about, what we say, 50 million, 100 million, if you're young and healthy, can be 150 million sperm. It's a lot. So there's a lot of energy into it. Now, in the moment of ejaculation, if you rest and you can feel that orgasm started to expand, okay? So, but if you train the prostaglandin and you train the buttock contracting, you started to have the idea to control it. And the mind power is the most important part. So the Tao said, once, if you one time stop ejaculations, the mind power double increasing. That's how much power you get. If it's two times, so in the list that we're talking about, one time, what benefit to you? Two times, three times, when you, so the 10 times you're talking about, they said when you can hold and not ejaculation, make love and not ejaculation, you can talk to God. That's what the priest, they discovered that. So when they have sex with the wife, before that the priest can marry, and they discover when they have sex, God don't want to talk to them. Next day you go to the temple, God don't want to talk to you. So they become a rule. When the priest have sex, they have to stay away from the temple 1 week because they cannot go into the temple anymore. So later on they say, okay, if I want to talk to God every day, I don't marry better. So they become no married because when they don't lose sexual energy, they can talk to God all the time. So that's why ejaculation and orgasm, you have to split them out. And it's not difficult. If only that when you get closer, in the beginning, it's a little bit difficult because in the olden time, when you get closer, you faster, so fast, ejaculation finish. And you get tired, exhausted, turn over, thank you honey, and you go to sleep, you know. But you lose a lot of energy that way. Now, extended orgasm, because as we talk about orgasm and love, is the very important part to make the cell split. That's all. So if the normal very fast orgasm, very fast have sex and ejaculation, you don't spend enough time to build up your orgasm. So we call a genital orgasm, very short. And you say, oh my God, I want more. It's no more. And every time you go on ejaculation, you have lesser orgasm because you don't have no more. You drain them all out and you have no more. But when the first time you hold, there's a lot of process you need to know. Because when you hold up the ejaculation, you have too much energy back. And you have to crazy. You have to crazy. We have too much energy. So when I make love, I have so much energy. And I cannot sleep. The only one way is get up and write book. So I write 40 books now. Now we're publishing with the inner tradition 28 book, and there's some more. So it gives you a lot of creating power and a lot of energy to do things. That's how the... So, not difficult. When you get close to ejaculation, you think, hey, I'm going to come. I'm going to ejaculation. You rest, lightly contract the prostaglandin and buttock, and you rest. That's it. Now, when you rest, you start to feel that orgasm expanding, but not ejaculation, you see? And when you get control, you go on again. So your orgasm expanding more, but you also get dangerous to close to ejaculation. So the Tao text they call, don't go beyond of the point of no return. That's very important. When you go to the point of no return, your ejaculation, that's it. You start over again next time. So when you practice for a while, you feel the length, the gap between the orgasm and ejaculation is bigger. and the orgasm get higher beyond you have orgasm before. So from here, ejaculation. But now when you lengthen this one out, this orgasm come out. So the Tao separate them to kidney orgasm, liver orgasm, heart orgasm, lung orgasm, brain orgasm. It's really feel the orgasm come up to the brain and it's opening you up. So you have expanding orgasm rather than limited orgasm. So the orgasm before is what? A few seconds. You feel good and finish. But in this way, your orgasm bigger, 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 wider, 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 and they multiply and multiply. So we call a total body orgasm. And later on, you go to what we call by cosmic orgasm. You expand your orgasm to the universe. And that's what the whole universe is, the energy, sexual energy come together, creating the whole universe. Okay. That's what you learn. One, you not difficult. One, you have to be talk to your partner, and when you stop for a moment and you get control, and you feel the orgasm expand. That's all. And you train from that gap. Expand, 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 expand. And now their timing, if you do in the beginning you do 2 or 3 times non-ejaculation, up to 4 or 5 times is too much energy, you ejaculation. So in the Tao practice they have few theory. Okay, but monk or nun, no ejaculation, no, and try to have no sex. That is why they want to conserve and transform sexual energy. But in the Tao way, I like it because if everybody become monk, maybe you can control the population easier. Okay. So try it out. So amazing, simple, but it's so amazing practice. And you don't believe it, if you're looking for more energy, this is the energy that you're going to get. You don't get any extra energy from anywhere, believe me. The sexual energy is the extra energy that you have. Okay. Sexual energy you need to transform every day.
Every day. Yes. Now, going back to separating ejaculation from orgasm, if, let's say, with your partner, you're spending time, you've got a multi-orgasmic experience, right?
Yes.
Should you still ejaculate at the end or no?
It's depending on the people, okay?
Okay.
There are certain timing. For example...
Yes, you said frequency for different ages.
Frequency. Like for the example, the younger people, we said they can ejaculation maybe about 4 or 6 days a week.
I see.
It's the 30 years old, you multiply them, so it's about 1 or 2 weeks.
So you should only ejaculate, if you're 40 years old, only every week or every 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you can still engage in sexual intercourse, but try and prevent ejaculation.
Yeah. Don't have to ejaculate every time.
Yes.
And try to have extended orgasm.
Yes, even when you ejaculate.
Right. So if you have extended orgasm many times, you harvest all the sexual energy back. And when you ejaculation, you lose much lesser energy than a normal way. It's just like the sperm producing egg.
Mm-hmm.
The sperm producing the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when the sperm producing energy and you stop and you harvest them, and you rest, you exchange energy, hugging, and chain energy. When you go to one level, when you feel that you get in control, you go again. You go again. And you started to have, when you feel orgasm, and you extend it and multiply it, and you bring them up. It's just like the chicken, you don't kill them, they lay egg for you every day. The hen. Okay. But if you eat the hen, tomorrow you have no more egg.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
What about food? Are you a vegetarian? Do you eat meat or what?
I'm not vegetarian.
Okay.
And I eat mostly, like in the Tao Kalam, we said, okay, we like to have mostly like chicken, mm-hmm. a smaller animal, and the fish.
Why smaller animal?
Because we believe that when the bigger animal, they have more, like cow, they have more chakras.
Mm-hmm.
like human. And they have one important chakras we call fear. Fear chakras, a fear energy.
Yes.
That is the lower center.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there are a lot of fear. And when in a moment of death, they're creating a lot of fear hormone.
It's bad.
And it's bad for the thing. But the smaller one, they don't creating that much.
Interesting.
And the fish, they don't have the fear chakras. The smaller animal, like fish, they don't have energy center that much. They're only three. And they have no fear chakras, the fear center. So when they have no fear center, they don't accumulate a lot of we call fear toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big animal like cow, when you kill them, they cry a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they really cry. They know that they're gonna die, but they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they just so during their fear, they're creating a lot of toxic. And they're big, and they can creating a lot of impact in the body.
Aging. What do you think are the major factors of aging? Obviously, sleeping is important in terms of
aging. Is number one. Excess ejaculation. Number two is not sleep enough that the body cannot repair, and not enough hormone. Sexual hormone is the one that rebuild the body, together with the melatonin and sexual hormone, and give a command to the sex cell to the stem cell to repair it.
Do you really think that the too much ejaculation can cause increased accelerated aging?
Yeah, that is a major one. If you hold the ejaculation for lesser your ejaculation, immediately you get longer life.
But is there another extreme? If you don't ejaculate at all, it's also unhealthy, right?
So you have to transform it.
You have to transform it. So the monk
and nun, they don't live long because they have no sex.
Right. So you have to still. There's a frequency that you're saying for every age.
Yes.
It's the correct balance for the amount of ejaculating that you should do. And by sticking to that frequency...
Like they said, like I remember, well, after 60, you should be no ejaculation, or you're healthy like me, once a month, that's good.
Once a month,
yeah.
Okay.
But you still can have sex every day if you want.
Meaning to weave in Sanskrit. The term Tantra implies a set of spiritual practices that direct the universal energies into the practitioner, thereby leading to liberation from the physical level of existence. The tools one may use in tantric practice include things such as mantras, meditation, and mudras, which are positions of the body, especially the hands, that have some kind of influence on the subtle energies of the body, or your mood. This is the real significance behind the Masonic hand gestures, which may be used as a subtle form of communication to other members, but in a more esoteric sense are employed in the harnessing and manipulation of energies, sometimes called chi, ki, orgone, prana, and vril. To put it in more practical and blunt terms, this energy is closely related to sex energy and is at the root of all mystery schools and religions. This universal energy is also referred to as light in many occult circles, with very high vibratory etheric properties, also called Lucifer, which is another term for light, or literally bearer of light. Alan Watts was a British philosopher who popularized Eastern esoteric philosophy for a Western audience. Born in England, he moved to the United States in 1938, where he pursued Zen training in New York and received a master's degree in theology. Watts went on to gain a large following, writing more than 25 books and articles, as well as recorded talks which still shimmer with a profound and galvanizing lucidity.
The tantric sexual practice is allowing it to happen without forcing sexual relationship in any way. It tends to be a sexual type of relationship which you could call contemplative rather than active. If you see the statues of tantric figures, by and large, the male figure is seated in the lotus posture, like a Buddha, like the Buddha here. The female sits right on his lap, wraps her legs round his waist and her arms round his neck. And they touch at all points, the mouth, the breasts, the sexual organs, the eyes, looking straight into each other. But they're motionless. They're completely still. They don't, in other words, work towards an orgasm. See, Freud had the idea that sexual pleasure is release from tension. That what we work towards is the orgasm as detumescence, as escape from tension. But many people would disagree most strongly with this and say that's part of it, but that it is just as wonderful for there to be tension without any attempt to escape from it. Maintain the tension. Just let it happen. That is the attitude of these sexual images of the sexual yoga. To let it happen. And to be completely still and completely open and aware. And if you do this, you'll find a very strange thing happens. You will become the other person. And you will experience yourselves as a single organism, where the two bodies literally melt into each other. It's as if there is electric currents or something in our bodies, which ordinarily bat against each other. But in this way of sexual yoga, the two currents become a single current. And it's exactly, melting is the only way I could describe it, the best metaphor. The two bodies fuse. Some say that in the tantric exercise there is no orgasm. It is entirely what's called coitus reservatus, that or carezza, to use the Persian word. And that the sexual energy is thereby transmuted into spiritual energy. Some say, you know, you arouse the sexual energy, but instead of dissipating it, you send it up the spinal column into the brain. You all know, presumably, the symbolism of yoga, of the kundalini, that at the base of the spine there is the call of the serpent. Kundalini, the serpent power. And that the object of yoga is to send your concentrated energy down your spine to knock on that snake's head and say, wake up, man, go up the tree. And the snake wakes up, and he goes slowly up the spine, energizing each chakra or center of nervous telephone exchange. Each one, as he gets into it, boom, a new world is open to you. Boom, boom. Finally, he gets into the thousand-petal lotus in the head. And then everything is lit up. You know all things. And eventually he goes out through the top of the head, where there's the sun door. The head corresponds to the firmament of heaven. The sun is the door in the firmament through which you see into the transcendental world. Sexual energy is the kundalini, is the serpent power, is the divine power. If you dissipate it in orgasm, you'll lose it. If you conserve it, you raise the power, raise the orgiastic feeling, but don't have orgasm. Instead, direct the sexual energy up the spine into the head, you'll get illumination. And many tantrics practice this way. They use the intense fascination of sexual arousal to be the instrument, the incentive for intense concentration on each other. So that you look with the whole, supposing you look into the other partner's eyes, and your interest in the other person's eyes is coupled with sexual fascination, you have colossal power of concentration. to look and look and look and look and look and look into those eyes. Now, if you concentrate long enough, you go into trance, and if you know how to handle trance, you go through trance into samadhi and so on and so on.
Samadhi is a state of consciousness characterized by clarity of perception and the absence of ego. It's the state of consciousness sought by all schools of meditation, a piercing of the veils of one's own subconscious mind into the superconscious. It is in this ecstatic state that the phrase, as above, so below, reveals its guarded occult meaning, where an individual is said to be able to perceive or even influence events outside of himself or herself. Samuel Ayn Wayor was a spiritual teacher and author of over 60 books of esoteric spirituality. He taught and formed groups under the banner of Universal Gnosticism, or simply Gnosis. Born in Bogota, Colombia, he published a book entitled The Perfect Matrimony, that claimed to unveil the secret of sexuality as the cornerstone of the world's great religions.
That was a great initiate that Master Samael Ayn Wayor knew in South America, whose name was the Dr. Arnold Krumheller, a great physician, doctor, from the University of Berlin. His inner name was Wiracocha. Master Samael Ayn Wayor mentioned Wiracocha in his book, The Perfect Matrimony. And he said, "This is the mystery of Baphomet. Instead of the coitus which reaches the orgasm, sweet caresses, amorous phrases, and delicate touching should be lavished reflectively, keeping the mind constantly separated from animal sexuality, sustaining the purest spirituality as if the act were a true religious ceremony. Nevertheless, the man can and should introduce the penis and keep it inside the feminine sex, to bring about a divine sensation upon both, full of joy, that can last for hours, withdrawing it at the moment the orgasm is near to avoid the ejaculation of semen. The transmission of magnetic fluids is ordinarily done through the hands and through the eyes. But it is necessary to say that there is no greater and more powerful conductor, 1,000 times more powerful, 1,000 times superior to others, than the virile member and the vulva as receptive organs." This is what Master Wiracocha said. He, in other words, were disclosing the power of Baphomet. But many people didn't understand, even though he was not so clear. "This is the mystery of Baphomet." This is what the Master Samael Ayn Wayor wrote in the book Igneous Rose. He says, "The rose elaborates its perfume with the clay of the earth, which is the physicality. The slithering worm does not like the gardener who removes its clay. Our disciples will now comprehend on what basis do the tenebrous ones qualify the sexual alchemists as thieves. And the proof is this. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the very bottom of that chapter, it is written, "And they were both naked." But we put in parentheses the word that they use for naked. If you copy that word and put it in the dictionary, you will see that has many meanings. and what or the meaning is thievish. And it's because it is precisely what an alchemist, a Templar, the one that knows the mystery of Baphomet, does. He steals the sexual force of nature. You have to know how to steal the energy from your own physicality, because that physicality, that flesh, is your own body. Master Samael says, or the Genesis says, and they were both thievish, Adam and his wife, and were not ashamed, because they were stealing from their own development, spiritual development. Now the devotees of the path will understand why Christ said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Because this is how you develop the forces of heaven within you. The forces of heaven descends in your physicality, and you take it by force, by willpower. It's not easy. The weak succumb in the sexual act. And that's the mystery of Baphomet. You have to be a thief. And that's why the Tenebrous, the fornicators from Klipoth, accused the alchemists of being thieves. Because we, when we transmute, we are really thieves. We like to steal for God. But it's not a stealing like in this physical world, money or dollars, because that's stupid. Stealing from his own energy, his own force, his own physicality. And you transmute the sexual force. That's the mystery of Baphomet. That is taught by Moses through his Kabbalah in all the book of Genesis. When you are in the sexual act, you are touching the tree of life. But remember the commandment, don't eat of it. You touch the tree and you eat the fruit, and that's precisely the problem. You can touch it, but don't eat it. Because by touching it is how you transform the energy and feed your spirit, your soul. But if you eat it, when you fornicate, you make lust, and then the rest of egos inside. And you become idolatrous. Even if you don't have in your home statues and you think that only God you worship, but you are a fornicator, you are also a killer. Because you are killing the life. Or as in esotericism we say, any bodhisattva that falls into animal generation is accused of having killed the god Mercury, or the Mercurius, which is the sexual energy. What are you performing when you are in fornication? The Zohar explains the different. You are a thief as well, but a bad thief. After the orgasm of the animals. And the serpent said unto the woman, this is the next graphic, ye shall not surely die, for Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. But when you eat it as God, or with God, together with God, and you eat it, and then your eyes are open. But it's written that Adam and Eve, or whether Eve tasted the fruit, which was the orgasm, that they taste and give it to the brain. And both saw that they were naked completely, without energy, without force. So we have two serpents here. The first is the tempting serpent, and the other is the serpent that gives life, which is the Kundalini. Humanity is following, of course, the tempting serpent. Because in the sexual embrace, when the flesh is receiving that magnetism in male and female, they enter into the temple, but to fornicate. And that's precisely to filth the tabernacle of God. Not to eat means to perform the sexual act and to transmute. To eat means to reach the orgasm, the spasm of the animals, which in this planet Earth, everybody is eating, having a feast of the apple of tree, right? But you have to be careful, because in the sexual act, you have to be, if you want to learn, you have to start little by little. Don't start like great master of tantra, you know, that practice hours. The master with a question says, they can endure for hours, right? But you say, oh, the master with a question says that can endure for hours, but you are not a master. He was a master with a coach. He said, you have to start, the Master Samael says, you have to start for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or as much as you can tolerate in order to teach your body, because the serpent is wiser. You know, is the wiser animal of all the hayot that were created.
So, you said that it says in Genesis, you shall not touch it. But then you said we can touch the tree. So which one is it? We can touch it. We can't touch it. Obviously,
what Jehovah Elohim said is that you shall not eat of it. Right? And the woman says, not even touch it. Right? But then the serpent, according to Zohar, said, no. The thing is, you shall not eat. You can touch it. Look, I touch it and I don't die. And it's true. Because the Elohim touching, I don't die. But if you eat it, you will die. But and then when Eve said, okay, I will touch it and I will try not to eat it. But she ate it and gave it to Adam. And they liked the orgasm. He says, oh, this is a good fruit. He says, you forgot about that. It's for animals, not for us. And then they are kicked out of Eden, etc., etc. We draw before the orgasm. This is the way in order to be born again. Question. Another question.
What is the karma of a man or a woman who cannot reach orgasm?
The karma. There's no karma there. In this case, for a woman that cannot reach the orgasm, why, if you cannot reach the orgasm, you have to fight for it? It says, you cannot be an animal because you don't reach the orgasm. Then fight in order to be an animal. That's incongruent. In this day and age, it's precisely what people receive, teachings. That some women are difficult to reach the orgasm, so they have to teach her. Women are, in past times, chased by nature. But in this day and age, there's a lot of pornography there and filthy things that teach the woman how to fornicate, how to reach the orgasm, and that's bad. In other words, the woman had to be more bestial as she already is, and how the man can be more bestial as he already is. But remember, the choice is yours. Take the path of the good or the evil. It's up to you. When you are in a sexual act, God is one. And if you pollute the sexual act, you are insulting that only God within you. Thank you very much.
Ecstasy, or samadhi, is not a nebulous state, but a transcendental state of wonderment, which is associated with perfect mental clarity. On one given night, while in profound internal meditation, I abandon this illusory world of Maya. Thus, liberated from the shackles of this bitter existence, I submerge myself into samadhi within the world of the spirit. There is no better pleasure than feeling oneself as a soul detached from the body, the affections, and the mind. Samuel and Weor. Hollywood is probably best known for propaganda, the pushing of a political agenda, and, well, pornography. That said, mainstream movies can still be very entertaining, with archetypal stories that have moved millions of people, but I often wonder how many really understand the original meaning behind the myths and legends, or even biblical stories portrayed in films, such as the Garden of Eden, Samson and Delilah, or even Sodom and Gomorrah. Hidden behind every major religion and tradition hides an esoteric secret, and throughout history, only an elect few were initiated into the mysteries of this truth, as it became completely forbidden to reveal the secrets of this mystery to the public. Since ancient times, the symbolic worship of the serpent has been seen in cultures worldwide, and it is often given a similar meaning, generally accepted as a symbol of divine wisdom and spiritual purity. In Gnosticism, the serpent represents eternity of the soul, where in the Gnostic text Pistos Sophia, it describes the disk of the sun as a 12-part dragon with his tail in his mouth. Helena Blavatsky says that serpent worship was spread across the globe by the, quote, masters of wisdom, and that all initiates into the sacred mysteries are called Nagas, or serpents of wisdom, end quote. Alexander the Great, before he had become the son of Jupiter Amun, was said to be the son of a serpent. And Augustus Caesar's mother, Atia, in legend, had Augustus from a serpent. And as I sit here under this tree, I can't help but be reminded of the tree of knowledge, and of course, the serpent that tempted Adam and Eve with the forbidden fruit. Here is an esoteric interpretation of that famous or infamous event.
The tree of life is an ancient symbol that is universal in meaning and is found in all the cultures that have held the esoteric knowledge. This is the same tree that Moses found burning on Mount Sinai. This is the tree under which the Buddha, Shakyamuni, found enlightenment. This is the world tree of the Mayans, the tree of life of the Aztecs, the great Nordic tree, Yggdrasil, that supports existence in its powerful boughs. In the mystical tradition of Judaism, the science of the tree of life is called Kabbalah. But this wisdom is universal and can be found in every great religious tradition, although it appears under many names. A fully illuminated consciousness is represented in the tradition of the Christmas tree, a symbol of the tree of life as passed down through Germanic esoteric traditions. Possessing an illuminated tree of life within means that one's inner senses are fully opened and active, providing a direct relationship with God. Of this tree, Adam and Eve could freely eat. But there existed another tree in Eden, the tree of knowledge.
And Jehovah Elohim commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you are free to eat. But as for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
It is clear that the tree of knowledge was forbidden to Adam and Eve, yet they were tempted by the one thing in all of paradise that was denied to them. Knowledge in Greek is gnosis, and in Hebrew, da'at. Da'at is the hidden sphere found in the Kabbalah, which traditionally is never spoken of or revealed. Da'at, gnosis, is the science of the great arcanum, that secret knowledge which has been hidden from humanity for ages. However, close examination of the use of the word knowledge in the Bible gives strong indications of the nature of da'at or gnosis.
Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son. The maiden was very beautiful, a virgin who no man had known.
It is clear to the observant reader that knowledge in the Bible relates to sexuality. Hence, the tree of knowledge, da'at, gnosis, is a direct reference to sexuality. What then is the purpose of this reference to sex and its role in the fate of Adam and Eve? While in Eden, Adam and Eve only knew divinity and innocence, and thus inherently respected the laws of creation. In their innocence, they were ignorant of the consequences of indulging in the fruit of sexuality. Tremendous energy is harnessed in the sexual act between a man and a woman. It is in this coitus that humanity has the God-given capacity to create. This is the mystery of the Holy Spirit, the fecundating fire of God, symbolized in India as Shiva Shakti, the creative and destructive power of God. One of the most sacred symbols of Shiva, the Holy Spirit, is the Lingam Yoni, the intersection of the phallus and uterus. The same symbol is found on the other side of the world, in the alchemical tradition. The force that powers all creation, on all levels of existence, is sexual energy. The power of creation, harnessing the force of that electric energy, implies a great responsibility. The wasteful expulsion of energy and semen through the orgasm was not and is not required to create a child. This is, in fact, the hidden meaning of the term immaculate conception. Immaculate means perfectly clean.
When a man has an emission of semen, he shall bathe his whole body in water and remain unclean until evening.
To indulge in the fruit of sexuality means to spill the sexual energy, to orgasm, to taste the divine energy that illuminates the soul in order to feel physical sensation. Thus, the energy used to maintain the physical and spiritual vitality of the individual is expelled through the orgasm. Adam and Eve, as a symbol of men and women of the ancient past, ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge, or the secret knowledge of sexuality. They abused the sexual energy in their own bodies by having the orgasm, and therefore they broke the most fundamental rule they had been given. It is very important that the tremendous energy that gives mankind the ability to create be used efficiently, because it is connected to the same energetic force that sustains the individual's own vitality. It is well known that the sexual energy is intimately related to the health of our psyche and our physical bodies. Not only is it necessary for sustaining physical vitality and thus the five physical senses, but also the vitality of the seven superior senses that unites mankind to the divine. Without the sexual energy, the soul atrophies, breaking our connection with God. When we expel the sexual energy, we expel the energy that fuels our inner senses. This is why those who fornicate, who expel the sexual energy through the orgasm, cannot perceive God directly. The orgasm is symbolized in the poisoned apple given to Snow White. While sweet to the taste of the physical senses, it is poison to the soul. Eating it results in unconsciousness and an eternity of sleep. The universal story of maidens and virtuous heroes falling asleep is an allegory illustrating the sleep of the consciousness, the state in which the human being loses the direct personal knowledge of God and the higher realms of nature. This is why the fruit of the tree of knowledge was forbidden to eat. Before the abuse of the tree of knowledge, sex was treated with the utmost respect, and the orgasm was unknown to mankind and unnecessary.
Husband joined wife in the sexual act according to the laws given to them by Jehovah Elohim. They enjoyed the tree of knowledge, sexuality, but did not eat of its fruit. This was the genesis of the distinction between good and evil. A humanity that knew only goodness ate of the forbidden fruit and discovered animal desire, which always leads to suffering and pain. This is the Pandora's box or vase of Greek mythology, which when opened, releases the agents of evil into the world. Fear, pride, shame.
And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Through the discovery of the orgasm, Adam learned to be afraid, to be ashamed. As promised by the tempting serpent, humanity gained new knowledge, the knowledge of suffering. In tasting the forbidden fruit, Adam learned desire. From this moment, right and wrong is filtered subjectively through the need to feel pleasure and avoid suffering.
And Jehovah Elohim said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil.
Humanity had already known good, innocence, purity, and simplicity. Now humanity also knew evil, shame, fear, pain, emptiness. Now humanity knew what the Elohim knew, that desire leads to suffering.
Desire caused all the gods to fall from their places, and it is desire that leads all creatures to hell.
Desire is craving, and craving is suffering. Desire always leads to suffering. This is the message that is inherent in every great religion. Desire for sensation became the new god and only served to further degenerate mankind until man was left with only a trace of the divine inside. The secret knowledge contained in the story of Adam and Eve can be found hidden in mythological and religious stories from around the world. In story after story are found the enlightened or empowered heroes brought to ruin by their lust. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, long hair was the symbol of sexual purity or chastity. Thus, when Delilah cuts the hair of Samson, this is a symbol of lustful seduction. Samson lost his power when he could not control his sexual desire. In the epic Indian classic, the Mahabharata, the immortal Pandu is warned never to release the sexual energy. But when tempted by a beautiful woman, he proves incapable of controlling his lust, and he throws away his immortality and dies. By expelling the sexual energy, humanity lost their inner senses and were no longer able to perceive God directly. Thus, when humanity willingly expelled the subtle energies that supported a direct relationship with God, it was simultaneously cast out of Eden, the paradise of the fourth dimension. And mankind descended into the wilderness, the physical world, this third dimension, the world of suffering. The entrance to the Garden of Eden is the same door through which Adam and Eve departed. Humanity is not locked out of Eden, but a cherubim is left to grant entrance only to those whom have earned the right to return, and only those whom have conquered the tempting serpent have earned that right. The serpent is within. The serpent is the sexual fire. It is a very powerful atomic energy with a polarity that can be used either to create or to destroy. Because this energy is so powerful, the individual requires great willpower in order to overcome the lure of this serpent. The temptation of this serpent is through material pleasure and self-edification. This tempting aspect of the serpent is Lucifer, or what in Hebrew is called Shaitan, the enemy. Because Shaitan is a fiery serpent that is ignited and empowered through the sexual act, it is always tempting mankind to know, to have the sexual connection. The serpent itself is power. The individual decides through their actions whether it will be a power of good or evil. It is the difference between obeying the serpent or controlling it. The lesson contained in the story of the serpent is that only those with the strength of will to control the cravings of their mind can raise the energetic serpent to transform themselves from intellectual animals into true human beings. It is necessary to conquer the dragon that lies within, as religions and mystical traditions have told for endless ages. The dragon is one's own lust, passion, anger, pride, fear, and envy. Thus exists the Hydra of many heads and the Medusa. The deceptions of the serpent are legion. The great heroes and gods always have the serpent under their power, and it is the serpent who protects them and conquers their enemies. In contrast to the serpent that tempted Eve, causing her to fall, there is the serpent of Moses, who commanded its power and conquered the Egyptians, accomplishing great miracles. Sex can be lustful or chaste. Sex can create or destroy. Sex can be animal or worshipful. Sex can raise a fiery chariot to God or pave a road to the abyss. Sex is the natural function of the human being, but only sex as performed under the guidance of divine will.
And the serpent said to the woman, "You are not going to die, but the Elohim know that as soon as you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like divine beings who know good and bad."
Whether the individual is in love or lust, the serpent is powerful because all of the blood is circulating with that fire within the body. And when two people unite sexually, the internal polarity is balanced and enhanced. A tremendous energy is excited that permeates the couple with the power to create. This is the fire of the Holy Spirit, as demonstrated by the tongues of fire raised above the apostles. This is the Hebrew character Shin, which represents the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the fire of the Christ. Shin, with its three points, embodies the three forces of creation. In this connection, the couple is appreciating the tree of knowledge, to know. To conquer the desire for the orgasm is to conquer the tempting serpent of Eve. As the serpent is always on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is the only place to conquer it and gain true knowledge through sexuality.
When you unite male and female into one, then you will enter into the kingdom.
Humanity left Eden as a couple, and as a couple, they must return. This is illustrated in the ancient acknowledgement of the need for both priest and priestess. The couple that must work together in order to reach perfection. Couples that conquer the desire to eat the fruit of knowledge internally gather up all of that energy. And gradually that energy can be used to create something within. Rather than feeding their own lust, they can restore their own inner Eve, the fallen serpent. And from there, they may then raise the serpent of the Kundalini. They can illuminate the tree of life, which exists within the human body, the spinal column. And they can create divine light within themselves and return to the direct knowledge of their own inner God. This is why all of the world's great religions emphasize chastity. Chastity does not mean abstention from sex. It means abstention from the orgasm, from spilling the divine energy that is the Holy Spirit.
The sexual act performed in the usual way may give a slight notion of the nature of this higher consciousness. But more than that, it cannot do, since the energy, instead of being trapped and put into use, is expended, creating a new physical body instead of spiritual consciousness.
Sex is not only important for spiritual advancement, it is a necessity. It is through sexual energy that the vehicle of the human soul is born. This is what is meant when the biblical Jesus explains to Nicodemus that he must be born again.
Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
He must give birth internally to his soul from the water and the Holy Spirit.
With patience ye shall possess thy souls.
Jesus of Nazareth never said that the soul already exists within a man. Instead, he said it must be born of the water and the Spirit. In all of creation, everything is born of sex. Thus, the soul, the fiery chariot of heaven, must also be born of sex. The soul must be born within a person, born of the waters of sex and the fire of the Spirit. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her of a water that gives eternal life.
Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come hither to draw. Jesus saith to her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither.
He was prepared to tell her the secret of alchemy, the great arcanum. That secret, allegorized in countless ancient stories, is that the waters of eternal life, the fountain of youth, is developed between husband and wife in chastity.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly.
She was not faithful to one man, and thus she was not prepared to receive the true teaching.
But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself.
Man and wife, through immaculate sexuality and the grace of God, create the Savior, the Christic fire. The containment and transmutation of the potent sexual energy can restore the fallen serpent of Eve. From there, the fire of the Holy Spirit can be awakened, raising the serpent upon the staff. This is the Kundalini, the positive, life-giving serpent. It can only be awakened through chastity and only by husband and wife. A single person cannot awaken the Kundalini. The fire of the sexual energy must create, or it will destroy. This very potent energy cannot be contained, and if repressed, will seek expression destructively, internally through the mind, through anger, or through sexual degeneration. This is evidenced by the infamous perversions of priests around the world, in all religions, and the rampant fanaticism that has destroyed so many spiritual movements. In order to utilize the sexual energy effectively, it must be transmuted into spiritual energy. This is accomplished by connecting sexually with the spouse, without spilling the energy through the orgasm. Or if one is single, learning to control the energy through ancient methods long forgotten by contemporary priests in the Western traditions.
No one whose testes are crushed or whose member is cut off shall be admitted into the congregation of Jehovah.
Entrance back into Eden, the congregation of the Lord, is through the proper use of sexuality. Likewise, the entrance into suffering and pain is through the improper use of sexuality. The Great Arcanum is the secret knowledge of Tantra. There are three types of Tantrism: black, gray, and white. Stimulation of sexual sensation and identification with lust is black Tantra. Any school or religion that teaches how to awaken the consciousness through having the orgasm is teaching black Tantra. Black Tantra is responsible for all of the suffering of humanity. Gray Tantra teaches that one should only orgasm occasionally. This teaching inevitably leads one to black Tantra. White Tantra always teaches three factors: the elimination of desire, the creation of the soul, and sacrifice for others. All white Tantra teaches to renounce the orgasm. White Tantra, the elimination of desire, is the road back to Eden. Mankind must return to Eden through the same door it exited, through sexuality. Mankind must return to the state of purity and innocence it once had in order to transcend suffering and pain. This is the great secret knowledge of alchemy, the chemistry of God. White Tantra, the path of sanctity and chastity, frees the consciousness from the ego, awakening the pristine consciousness, free of all animal desire. Black Tantra, the path of identification and fornication, awakens the consciousness that is trapped in the ego, leaving the soul trapped in suffering. To acquire true spiritual awakening, it is necessary to defy the tempting serpent and raise the fire of the Holy Spirit to create the human soul. This is the key to the ancient mystery of alchemy, to transmute the lead of the ego and desire into the spiritual gold of the consciousness. It is necessary to transcend the mind and awaken the consciousness. Light is necessary to see through the darkness. In order to incarnate light, it is mandatory to transcend the animal desires that fill the mind. Therefore, one must understand and act upon the mystery of Adam and Eve.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. You can find my books on Amazon.com. They make a great gift. I'd like to say thanks to those who support me on Patreon, and thank you to anyone who shares my videos, as I rely on word of mouth. Please don't forget to subscribe. Please leave a comment or say hello, and I hope to see you soon.